laid on my heart. It's kind of an exhortation. And I don't know what you think of when you think of being exhorted, but I think Brother Jerry knows. The other night we talked about it a little bit. It is to excite someone, to strongly encourage someone, to come alongside of someone, and to urge them on. As we think about that this morning, I was endeavoring to do that, and I was wanting to speak of parenting a little bit, of fathers and mothers and their job as that God has called them to do. And I know I thought of this morning as directly speaking to parents, but I was thinking, well, there's a lot of children in here today. And as I'm sharing here today, I would want every one of you children to think about, you have a part in the parenting of your fathers. I want you to be thinking about, as I'm sharing, what is my job or my call as a child in this life. And you can think of ways where you can bless your parents or you can make their jobs easier and get a vision, to depth of vision as you're being raised in this life. I was thinking this morning, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this morning, talk about our father, the fathers and mothers and their relationship with their children. I had to think about the title of the message, if I would give it today, would be Feeding for the Souls of Your Children. There's a competition. We know there's one out trying to get your children, and that would be the title of my message, Competing for the Souls of Your Children this morning. Psalms 127:3 says, Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is their reward. And what value this morning are we putting on the souls of our children? And again, this morning, this is an exhortation. This is not an admonishment. When an exhortation, I believe, comes along, it does not take away the foundation that each parent, I say fathers and mothers, the foundation that you laid for your families. I'm not here this morning with the Word of God to take that away, but to come alongside of that and to encourage you to continue on. I know it's a big subject. I'm not going to touch on everything this morning, but what value do we put on our children this morning? I was thinking this morning, you think about all the things that us fathers do in a year's time, all the things that we built, and little rabbit trails we go down, things that we try to build up in this earth, things that we try to fulfill ourselves with, our houses, our lands, all of these things, our businesses. This morning, I was just contemplating yesterday, all these things that we do with our hands will long be gone when this world falls apart, when it says this world will burn with fervent heat. But the souls of our children, this morning, as you think about it, the souls of our children will be around long after these things that we mess with this flesh. So they'll be here, they'll be in eternity somewhere. So how much time and effort do we put into raising a family? Now I'm not speaking this morning as one who's attained, and I thought about it before. When God laid this on my heart, automatically I was thinking, I'm not eligible to speak on this topic. And yet, as God begin to show me that I'm not eligible to speak on a lot of topics. Without the grace of God this morning, without the Spirit that is working in a person, none of us are eligible to speak about a lot of things. So we want to give God the honor and glory this morning. He is worth it. And it is Him, and it's because of Him this morning that we are able to do what we can do. I was thinking about, the Bible says that the children are an heritage from the Lord. I don't know, I came from a large family. There's 15 of us. And today, wherever I go, and whenever I have an opportunity, I tell people, I have 14 siblings. And, you know, sometimes the response out of people's mouths are like, why? They can't believe it. It's like a horrible thing. But I always tell them, you know, heritage from the Lord means that God gives you something. My dad received 15 heritages from the Lord. In that way, I want to encourage you this morning. The world looks at children something other than a heritage from the Lord this morning. I think about the things that are happening in the world this morning. I know our former president, he was charged with inciting an insurrection. And men and women, families, they go to these rallies and they're trying to make a difference. How can we make a difference, my thought is this morning, out here if we haven't done it here with our family? The only change that will come to this country, I believe, begins in our houses. Not just here with Anabaptist people, but I'm talking about every person. You want it to be great in changing the world, you need to start in your home. We need to get our priorities straight. So again, I want to encourage you today, exhort you. I know many of us children here in this type of setting, we're all raised in a similar background. We had a lot of work. Thank you. Our fathers and our mothers, they were busy. And yet I believe they loved us more than what we ever come to appreciate. So as a father here today and a mother, I'd like to encourage you to spend time with your children. It don't take much. I had to think of my dad. He spent time with us, and the few times I remember, my brother Mark and Denny can testify to that, Mel. It didn't take a $300 item or a toy or a gadget. With a $5 fishing pole and an empty bucket, Dad made memories for me that I remember, 40 years later. We all know this morning, the word love is actually spelled time, T-I-M-E. This is the thing we want to talk about today. Feel a little needy today to tackle this subject. So maybe Steve, do you want to come and pray? Brother Steve, pray for me.
Yes, dear Heavenly Father, as we bow here before in your presence, Lord, we are a needy people, Father. We need to hear from you, Lord, for our families, Lord, for our life, Lord, and for things that you, Lord, are wanting to do in our hearts and our lives, Lord. I just pray that you would fill Brother Dan with your Holy Spirit of promise, Lord, and you would give him unction, Lord, that we could, Lord, hear these words and, Lord, make changes and do things differently, Lord. Do things that bring life and not death, Lord. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that your Spirit could be seeking, Lord, in our hearts up and down these rows. And, Father, that we could, Lord, make a difference in this community, Lord, that we could, Lord, be the people that turn the world upside down, Lord, that like they did in the book of Acts, oh God, with our families and with our lives and with the things that you're pressing on our hearts, Lord. Mm-hmm. So we really need you, Lord, to do this in our lives, Lord. And Lord, just help us empty of ourselves, Lord, and just to serve you, Lord. But most of all, just bring a comfort and a blessing on Brother Dan's life here, Lord, as he's up here and he shares these precious words that you laid on his heart, Lord. And Lord, maybe he feels a need in his own life, but Lord, help that not bring back what you want us to hear today, Lord, and that we could just all change, Lord, and be more molded into the image of Christ. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. So this message today, again, not entitled to or not to point out anyone's failures. Just to a feeble attempt to encourage, maybe to exhort one another in the day that we live in. I was thinking this morning, you take oil. As oil is the life of an engine, so is the father and or parents to their children this morning. As oil is a very vital part of the life of a motor, so is the presence of a father and mother in the children's lives. Psalm 78:4 says, "We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done." Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." Proverbs 29:17 says, correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. And I know the Bible says the word says that this written word here is for admonishment, encouragement, exhortation, and also for our learning. So I was going to take a story for a man's life in the Bible here and use it today as a outlining, I guess, of what I wanted to share. And I was thinking of David. I know David, he was a man with many titles. Have you ever thought about the titles David carried in his life? David was a soldier. He was an arm bearer. First, he was a shepherd. He was a king. He was a prophet. And so today, was there another title David had? Anybody know? Father. He was a father. He was a singer. Man after God's own heart. The one I want to look at today is David as a father. He was a king. He was a prophet. You know, David, he succeeded in most of all of his titles. And I know I might have shared that here this morning before, or this thought here before. He succeeded as a shepherd, as an arm bearer, as a harp player, as a soldier, as a king, as a prophet. But as a father, sometimes I look at his life. And I'm not here today in any way to belittle David in his effort to raise a family. I don't think that's any one of our jobs today. But just to look at his life as an example of a father. As it was said, David was called a man after God's own heart. Now that would be a legacy to leave our children. They could say, my dad was a man after God's own heart. So as we look at David, I don't know where to start at, I guess, in his failures or in his accomplishments, but as we look at some of the bad things that happened in David's life, just for a little outline today, this morning, we know that David's son Amnon violated his own half-sister. We know that David's son Absalom murdered his half-brother. And later, he led a civil war against his father. David's other son, Adonijah, tried to claim the throne of Israel for himself while David was still alive, without asking God, without God's blessing. And then we know David's son, Solomon, he married a couple hundred ungodly women, it says, and ultimately involved himself in pagan idolatry. This was the legacy of David this morning as a father. I know many times there's a thousand messages that could be preached on David and all of his accomplishments. But I think this morning we just take a little time to look into the life of David and some of his failings. I think it's okay. David, I think we'll look a little bit in the realm of David's failure a little bit this morning. I'd say this morning as we consider this, that if we get anything out of the message today as parents, even my own life, I'm excited this morning, and I'm encouraged this morning that we all have breath, we all have life, and our children are all living, and we have this opportunity to change this world through them, to change their lives. As a warrior, David was not a failure. We know that that story this morning about David. He was a shepherd. He was out tending his sheep. And his dad called him to come forth to take some food to his brothers who were fighting. They were in a war fighting the Philistines. And we know that David rose up early one morning and left his job as a sheep keeper. And he took his things as his father commanded him to do, and he headed out. He headed to this battle. And David came there, and he was, after he delivered his food, he was walking around like I'm not sure what age he was at that time, like any young man would do, and just observing what was going on. And his brothers got a little mad at him. They thought he was just there because he was wanting to come and see this. And he should be home being a sheep keeper. What are all these things? I'm not sure. But he heard this voice hollering out across the valley. We all know this story. I don't want to spend a lot of time in this story this morning because see the time is going on. But we know what happened there. As a soldier, David came forth, took the call of God, and he stepped forth and he slew this giant. So we know that David in his life, I believe it was a calling of God in his life to do this, that he mastered this. Not only this part, but in many parts he did well as his calling and as a soldier. In there in verse 29 of 2 Samuel 17, David heard this cry of this giant. He said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" He told his brothers. Is there not a cause? And I want to point out here why I'm mentioning some of David's accomplishments is that he was a man that had the making of being a good father. He had wisdom, discernment, judgment. He had all these things, yet it seemed like something failed there. So I think David is going to the camp asking the men, is there not a cause? Anyway, David went and slew this giant, and he became a soldier there. And I'm not sure all that happened after that, but we can see that he was as a soldier, he accomplished great things. And David also, as a son to his father, he was a blessing. I think that if we read his life, he obeyed his father. He was tending the sheep. And later on, I think even King Saul, the king here, adopted David as his own son. He was a faithful son to his adopted father also. We all know that he had a chance in his life as Saul chased him around and was trying to kill him, that David had the opportunity, I believe, more than one time to take the life of Saul. But he didn't. He respected Saul and the calling that God had on Saul's life. So he honored God in this. So we see as a adopted son and as a son, he was not a failure. And I believe that, I don't know, Dale Heisey preached a message here last weekend, and I don't know how many of you guys listened to that message, but I would recommend that you grab a hold of it and listen to it. He had shared in there about being reconciled to your father, and it was good for me to listen to that again. I believe part of why we fail as fathers is because we felt we were failures to our fathers. Does that make sense? We did not respect them, obey them, honor them. This sin calls for repentance. And so if you haven't listened to Dale Heisey's message on being reconciled to your father, it's good. He shared a time when he was reconciled to his father. And I'd like to take an opportunity this morning to where I feel that when the door of reconciliation opened in my life, my dad was many years. My dad was a good dad. He loved us. He only wanted the best for us. And one day, I think, after I was married and converted, I realized that this thought came to me. Long before I heard the message of being reconciled back to your father, that thought came to me that if I'm going to succeed as a father, if I'm going to make a difference in my children's life, if I'm going to gain them their respect, their honor, their love, their heart, I need to deal with the thing I have with my father. It was real. I remember that. God began to press it in my heart. And I remember walking around. It went on week after week. And one Saturday morning, I was out just doing my Saturday morning things. And God pressed it in my heart. And I stopped in the middle of the barnyard. And I pulled out my phone. And I called my dad. And I know if you know my dad at that time, that was probably 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. Phones were a new thing. He didn't like technology. But I figured, well, Mom's going to answer the phone. She's going to say that Dad's out in the barn. I'll call back later. That's my heart. I wanted to do it, but yet I didn't want to do it. The Spirit didn't want me to. The Spirit wanted me to do it, but my flesh didn't. And that morning as I called, my dad answered the phone of all people, and I was like, silence. And then I remember just telling my dad, it was hard, but it's possible with the grace of God. I told him that I was sorry for everything that I'd done in my life against him and Mom, and that I loved him. And that if we can start a relationship now, just somehow I wanted to forget everything back there. I think it's possible, and I think it's needful as fathers today. We don't carry along these things that maybe hurt us in the past, or our children did something to us. We don't let those things go. Today is a new day, a refresh. And that's what my dad did. I believe that day he forgot about those things. He started crying, and I was crying. It was a wonderful time. And I knew up to that time that before I went, we would go home to my father. At the time we left the church there, and it wasn't a very pleasant thing, and my dad was kind of sad about it. And we would go home, and he wouldn't say much. He would sit in a chair, he'd cross his arms, and just kind of maybe go to sleep, or he wouldn't say a word. But I remember within a week we went home. I said to my wife, "Let's go home. Let's go visit Dad, Mom tonight." And I remember going there that night, and I get there, and Dad was nowhere around. And I thought, because I was like, Mom knew we were coming, and I said, "Well, Mom, where's Dad?" And she said, "Dad's out in the summer house making popcorn." And I knew that was a good sign. My dad loved popcorn, and it was an honor for my dad to make popcorn for someone. So, from then on, I believe that reconciliation is not just a one-time deal. I don't believe that. I believe it's a work, and I believe God has given each one of us the tools and the knowledge and the wisdom to do that this morning. If we haven't been reconciled to our Father, who are we? We say that we have the Spirit of God. Do we wait for someone who we think maybe don't have the Spirit of God to initiate this reconciliation? I believe it's on our part this morning, if we have the Spirit of God, to be reconciled to our fathers. So we see David reigned all over Israel. He administered judgment and justice to all the people. He did not fail as a king. I wonder sometimes in my own life, what am I striving for? You know, what title do I want for my life? That's what I should put. What title do I want out front in my life this morning? Was I a father to my children, or was I a good businessman, or was I a good farmer, or was I... I think it's an honest question to each one of us to ask ourselves this morning. We think of raising children. Sometimes when we think of something God has told us to do, and it's a commandment. I had to think of that this morning, Sam. You said, about the calling of God in our lives. You know, if God give you a child, I believe we can go through the scriptures and find the calling, a commandment from God to raise up those children for Him. It's a calling. Whether you have a calling this today of something that you're desiring to have a calling for, whether you have a calling today of something that God give it to you. I think today, for me, if I would just throw aside everything else, I would be busy, so busy in the calling of being a father. So I want to encourage you all this morning that don't seek for callings in this life. That's going to take away time from your family. And I know that God calls people in special things, and I don't think we should reject what God calls us in. But yet, don't go seeking those things. Seek to fulfill the calling that you have as a father and a mother in your own home. I know time's going faster this morning. David, and what's the reason for David's failures? I was just reading. I want you all to go home and go through this. For the sake of time this morning, I don't want to read all this, but we're going to pull some scripture out here. Go home and read this here and see that it lines up with what I'm sharing today. How easy is it that we shift the responsibility, our responsibilities as a father, to our wife, or to an older child, or to the ministers? It's easy. We can do those things. I don't know what was going on in David's life, but we see this in his life. He did not... When it comes to raising his children, he did not stand for it. He did not take a hold of this thing and deal with it like he should have. Daniel shared this morning about getting up in the mornings. Have you ever got up in the morning? Rushed through your morning devotions? Tell your wife what needs to be done? Command your children to listen to Mom and head out the door? And I understand I'm not taking away from the fact that we need to. From the beginning of time, the father also has a responsibility to take care of his family. It's not about work. You know, sometimes we say, well, I'm so busy here. But, you know, there are times in my life that I look back, being honest, I have a lot of hours. I have a lot of time. We all have a lot of free time. Not counting the time when you have your own devotions to the Lord, or your family devotions, or you're working. There's time. What are we doing with that time? In building up our family. What we should be doing. So we know the story of David here. He had some children, and I'm not sure all what happened, but one of his sons Amnon. I think he was a half-brother to his sister Tamar, but we all know what happened there. Ungodly things happened in David's house. And that wasn't the worst part. I think David not dealing with it was worse than what happened. Things happen. One of the things that I notice here, it says that Jonadab was the son of Shema, who was David's brother, was hanging around Amnon. He was a crafty man, the Bible says. What was David's sons hanging around a man like this for? You ever think of that? Crafty? He was a man that was, he was a kind of a deceiver. He was feeding Amnon instructions of what to do and how to do what Amnon wanted to do. And then we know what happened in the end there. Three things I want to point out here that David missed just when with his son Amnon was his son had too much idle time. He was hanging around the wrong crowd. He was confiding in someone else other than his dad. How did that come about? So we can see here that David really didn't have a lot of time for his children. I think this thing can happen more than what we realize as fathers is having your children confiding in someone else. It can happen. And I don't think we should judge someone on it. I think we need to open our ears and our heart to our children and be there for them so this doesn't happen. Because I tell you, in my own life, I've been raising children for 25 years now. Seems like a long time, doesn't it? I couldn't believe it. 7 days go by really fast. 4 to 5 weeks go by really fast. 12 months go by really fast. 12 years. 25 years. Many men, I think what happens a lot of times, let's not be caught up in this. It's a temptation, but many men in this world set out to establish something when they're young. So that when they're old, they don't have to work so hard. You ever think about that? And many men accomplish this. I believe many men do. But in the meantime, in those precious years, when their children are young, I'm talking to a lot of young families here, a lot of young married couples. Set your heart not on this thing. Many men accomplish it. They go out and they accomplish what they want. So when they get a little older, around 55, maybe 50, 55, they can take it easy. But then again, I hear many old people say as they're playing with their grandchildren. I've heard them say this before. I've never had time to do this with my children. It's not true. It's there. So as they sit back and start relaxing, because they have the material things they need in life, I believe many of them regret that choice because they look at their children maybe and they look at their families and there's, you know, if they didn't bring them up in the ways of the Lord, then there's grievance in a father's heart. I don't care this morning if a father, how spiritual a father is, they love their children. There's this connecting thing between a father and a child, and the father knows his responsibility is to give this child back to God. So there's regrets. Set your heart not on these things. I need to move on here. What happened in David's house did not happen overnight. That's another thing I want to bring out. It doesn't happen overnight. God, the grace of God is, I believe in my own life, as I look back raising the family, the grace of God is big. And he allows, I think, for mistakes and these things. But one thing I would like to share is, if your motives are pure as a father, and you seek with your heart to bring up your family in the ways of the Lord, there's grace there, I believe, to cover sometimes negligence that we as fathers do. And maybe I'm the only father here that is negligent sometimes. But I don't think it's like that. God covers that. And these things don't happen overnight. We need to set our hearts on wisdom. We need a heart full of purpose as a father. A vision. We need to be full of the Spirit of God. We need to take responsibility as fathers. When Amnon did this horrible thing to his stepsister, the Bible says that David tore his clothes. I'm not sure if he did it in anguish, but I'd like to think that he did it because maybe he was in anguish and also because of anger. When we discipline our children, it says he did that, but nowhere does it say that he punished Amnon. He just got angry. And he was probably regretting, but yet he took this problem that was before him. Instead of laying down his title as a king, he took this thing and he put it on a shelf. Never dealt with it. And I had to think of this morning, maybe there's some fathers in here today that don't struggle with anger, where it comes out in the flesh and it's evident. There's another anger I had to think about this morning. It's the anger of silence. It's the anger of gritting your teeth. And maybe you're feeling anger and disappointed and discouraged and all these things. You keep that thing there and you deal with your child in silence is the same way as lashing out with them. I believe we need to bring, I'm talking as a father and my failure, we need to bring in a child's life, there needs to be, and I know we heard this many times, affirmation in their life as a father and as a mother. We can't, when they make a mistake, when they're hunting for an answer, when they're hunting for a reproof, when they're hunting for correction, it's our responsibility to take that moment and to work that thing out. Don't set it on a shelf for years later. Don't set it on the shelf because it's a hard thing to deal with. And I'll tell you, as a father, we can meet things like that. It's real. And we need to deal with those things. And fathers here with younger children, the Bible talks about driving that foolishness out of a child with a rod. And I know that, I don't know what you think about when you think of a father taking a son into a room with a rod. But I think that we can approach this thing in a way that will bring fruit and draw our child's heart to us. And there's a way to drive your child's heart away from you. If you're angry, or if you're disappointed, or if it's just in that moment of, you know, that quick moment of disciplining, it won't work. I always said my own, you know, I've done that in my younger years, but as I got older, I always set a rule or a governing thing over my life when it came to disciplining my child with a rod. If I'm not as hurt as much as my child is hurt, if I'm not shedding tears like my child's shedding tears, then I don't do it. Because I know we need to be strong as fathers. I know God has given us this position to do this, but yet if I go in with the attitude that I'm going to prove to my child, I'm going to beat this thing, it's not going to work. I've seen it. I've seen not necessarily brothers, but I've seen where people had these children that were just rebellious at a young age. Father would tell them to do something, and they would say no. And the father would grab that child and spank that child, sit him back down and say, do it, and the child says no. I think if anyone here is facing that, I know there's a lot of young families here. I think we need to stop as a father at that moment. And we need to start checking our heart. Because something's wrong. And it's not that the child is that evil that we can't reconcile him back to God. I think it's because we don't spend enough time with him. Could that be it? I think it is. I think that I see that a lot. All a young child needs is time with his father. Get on the floor with your child. Play with your child. You get 45, it's hard to crawl on the floor. But I see my need still to do that with my youngest one. I have an 8-year-old. Another thing I would like to share here as you're raising a family, and this happens sometimes, and I don't know if it happens in Christian homes or not. It has not happened in my house that I know of. But maybe lifting one child up over another child. Or if there's one child that's always picking on another child and the dad don't see what's going on, he just thinks what he knows is going on, he's always disciplines the wrong child. And as this goes on, I believe these things lodge into a heart hurt and disappointment and anger and resentment that doesn't come out even as they're at home. But I've seen families with my own personal eyes that when they get married and the whole families get married and they move out, all of a sudden one of the children will say, when I was at home, I didn't get treated right. My dad, he elevated this brother up, he elevated this sister up, and I got treated bad. Person gets married, starts talking to his or her partner, and starts sharing these things, and pretty soon, you know what happens that comes out of that? Families are torn apart even after they're all married because of these things. And I would say something to look into as a father, raising your family, just something to stir your mind in that. Watch out for those things because it happens. I've seen it. And the sibling's partner builds this thing and it becomes a big thing. It says here in Ephesians 6:4, your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So we see that after this all went on, after Amnon done what he done, this thing remained unsolved. It was an unresolved situation. Those things, in a household, are devastating. As this thing, if you take something that's hurting or mold and you set it on a shelf in the right temperature, this thing's only going to eat itself up. It's only going to get worse. Situations don't go away. As a father, God has called us as parents to resolve situations as they come up. This thing built into something and it kept going. And when Amnon done this to Absalom's sister, Absalom hated Amnon. He set in his heart to get revenge. All this was happening under David's nose, in his eyes, he didn't see it. So we know what happens, ends up that Absalom kills Amnon. And then again, adding one insult to injury, this thing continues to build. It says here that, I believe you read in 2 Samuel 14:24, that after Absalom killed his brother, he came back. He was outside of the city. He sent a servant to tell David if he could return home. And David at that time had still not forgiven his son. He said, let him return to his own house, but do not let him see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house, but did not see the king's face. How many years do you think this went on? I was amazed that I read through here. I think it went on 2 or 3 years that he was in his father's city and his dad never went to visit him. Absalom grew up. It says he started having children. He had 3 sons and 1 daughter. And you know, if you're here today, you have children. They're the apple of your eye. You want to take them home to show your father, right? That's the thing. Here, look, mother, look at my children. It's a thing that we do. And here it says that Absalom had the same thing in his heart. He wanted his dad to come see his children. If you read that. And he was begging for his father to come visit him. He sent his son Job, or his servant Job, to talk to the king. But Job didn't come, so Absalom had to set a field on fire to get Job's attention to come and to go tell his father that he would come and visit him. And I think in the end there, I'm not sure what happened, but I was just going to make one point out of this, that the unforgiveness in David's heart kept feeding this thing, and that breeds rebellion. I mean, at that point, Absalom was crying for acceptance from his father. He was doing all that he could to be recognized of his father and his family, and this thing kept building up, and in the end, we know what Absalom done. He went on, I think, as we read on here, that he went on to take the kingdom away from David. That didn't have to happen. So, just to reiterate that a little bit, again, what I went through there is to deal with those things, if they're hard or easy, no matter what they are, take time and deal with them as a father and mother. Work through those things because it don't get better. And because your child can't live, I don't know, I'd make it a little example here. Just thinking, If one of us would be trying to get an affirmation from someone about something, whether we bid a job, and whether we're working for someone, and we don't know, this guy doesn't say much, he doesn't talk, he doesn't affirm us, he just gives you a print, go and does this. For me, I love affirmation. Hey, how are things going? Well, is there something I can do to improve? Is there? And if we never get the affirmation, it just seems like it becomes an old thing, and that's the way it works in a child's heart if we don't give them affirmation. Come alongside of them, lift them up, bless them where we can, and let them know that as together we'll work through this thing, and we want to all one day be with God. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We know that the Bible says, history says, somewhere around when Absalom was 16 years old, David had an affair with Bathsheba. We remember that story. And in the Bible it says in 2 Samuel 12:11, thus said the Lord, behold, he told David, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou did this secretly, he told David, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before all the sun. Bible teaches that it came to pass 47 years later, 2 Samuel 16:21, it said there was another man giving direction into Absalom's life at that time, because David never did. It says, and this man said unto Absalom, go into thy father's concubines, which he had left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred by thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. Still receiving evil instruction, David was this time. I do believe it is very important that your children come to you in time of need, so they can give them to God, that you can give them godly advice. So children, today as you're thinking about all these things, when you have a problem, when you have a need, sometimes those things as fathers, we miss them. And it's your duty to come forth, to confess, and bring these things forth to your father and mother so that they can help you. And so this is what happened 47 years later. Absalom did all this, it says, so they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went to his father's concubines in the sight of all of Israel. You know, sometimes this message about David sinning, people use it, I think, sometimes too lightly. They say, look, David, a man after God's own heart. He was a man. Look at all the things that he'd done. He sinned. He even sinned. You know, he had sinned his life, and God forgave him, and he went on. But today I would like to bring out, just when I was reading this thought touched me. David's sins had consequences. It wasn't this little, it's just a little thing, a couple of days, it's over. No, but it says here that, I didn't really read this before, where God told David that your neighbor's going to do this, the very thing that you've done, but it's going to be in the sight of all men. So fathers who live their lives in hypocrisy will fail. That's just the thought that I had this morning. Listen, we can't do all things right. There are some times that we're going to make mistakes as father and mothers. But I believe that if our heart is in our motive is right, and I don't want to say it's just the heart thing. I think that we give it all we got, as we heard this morning. And we're still going to make mistakes. But I had to think this morning, you've heard people say, yes, I fathered 3 children. I fathered 5 children. I fathered 10 children. My question this morning is, does that make him a father? I have a story, a true story that I'd like to share. This happened a few years back. There was 3 brothers, and they all had their own business. They were doing their own thing. They were pretty close together. They liked one another. They got along with one another. They got together. They said, you know, while we run our businesses, why don't we all go together and start building houses? Well, that's a good idea. Let's do it. So each one of them brothers, their main focus, their priority was on their own business. They was going to give what they had to this other business to build some houses. So now they were considered house builders. They were building houses, but they hired someone to take over that, and they managed this from their other positions. And someone asked him, what do you do? Well, I build houses. And after 5 years of building houses, because I think the problem was, is each brother only put in a small percent of his time, his effort, to make this business go. Because their primary focus was on their own business. So they hired somebody. And after 5 years of building maybe 30 houses, they came to the grim realization that they've been robbed. That they've been lied to. They've been torn down. They even had a debt they had to pay. After 5 years. And I think of that. I want to use that for an example today because as a father, God has called us, as we heard today, a high calling. I have not attained. I'm here today. I feel encouraged myself. But as a father, how much time do we need to spend? If you want to take an example of these three brothers, they each put in a little bit. They was hoping against hope. They were, yes, this is nice. You know, we have this thing going over here, and maybe it'll make us a little bit of money. We don't have to work so hard over here. But no one was spending time putting input into this business. And in the end, there was nothing there. No fruit. And can I make a likening this day as a father? So in all reality, they said they were house builders, but really they weren't, right? There was no fruit. There was no profit. There was nothing. So you say, I've raised three children. I fathered five children. I fathered 10 children. What makes you a father this morning, I believe, is after 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, there's your fruit. Here's your pay for spending time being a father. That you can be a father. Maybe I'm going too strong on some of those points. I was just thought of that as I laid it out this morning. I need to move on. I only got a couple minutes. I was going to give some practical points here this morning. I know I don't like to go over time here. Another point, if David would have the hearts of his children, he would not have had to be competing with his children. I think of Absalom who set up his own kingdom, who went out and listened to the people. He started giving people instruction. He started counseling people, and he had his own kingdom. So David, if he would have had the hearts of his children, he wouldn't have had to have this thing. I know. Why does it seem like sometimes you take families here? I believe every one of us here, I believe in my heart, we're dedicated. We want our children to be with God someday. I believe that with my whole heart. But why does it seem so hard sometimes? You ever think about that? Now, going back to the title of my message, competing for the souls of your children. There's someone who is at work. You may be sleeping at night, he don't sleep. And he is competing for the souls of your children. I think of a family here. I wanted to mention this, and I don't want to cause be too blunt. But there was an older man here that comes to this church today. He's probably 75 years old, him and his wife. And I spent time with this father when I was young. When I was 15 years old, I got to know him, 16, 17. I knew his son. I spent a lot of time with him. And we would sit together. He was older, 60s, and we would drink together. We would listen to bad music together. This guy was a drunk. But you know, today, all of his children are saved. You ever think about that? Here we spend so much time and give it all we got, and yet we battle the enemy. And I've often wondered about that. Now he has grandchildren that are being saved. His whole house. Does it seem fair? We worked so hard. He didn't do nothing until he was 70 years old. But praise the Lord for that man. I see him, and I still see him today, and I can shed a tear. So, just want to come across some practical points here. Most of all, David lost his sons. He lost, I think, three of his sons were died in that mix of sin. You know, as fathers and mothers, I know it is my heart that I can handle anything that this life has to bring me. I believe I can. I mean, if my children succeed, I can do, and I can suffer, and I can do anything that it takes. I think of David here. You know, he lost his three sons. And you think about that, our children's failures, like David's children's failures, they were his failures. David's successes that he had that at that time in his life didn't amount to anything. You know what I'm saying? If you hear my heart here, we need to give 100% today to doing that. And I know that I say that today in exhorting you and encouraging you and exciting you today to do that in the time that we live in. You know, one of David's last cries, it says there's this picture that as Absalom came in and took over his city, it says that David grabbed his people. He didn't want to fight with his son, and he was fleeing. It says he was fleeing along the mountainside, and there were men coming out cursing him. They were throwing stones at him. Can you imagine the sight of that? They were picking up dirt, and the Bible says they were throwing dirt at him, cursing him. And David's cry was, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Absalom, my son, my son." That's why I was saying, as fathers, we'll do whatever we need to do for our children. So moving on here, we notice a few things about God. God does not withdraw his love. He did not withdraw his love from David. The Bible never says that he did. We learn in 1 Corinthians 13:5 that God never disciplined in anger. Learn another thing, that God never forces our will. Is that right? I know that as fathers, sometimes we do force the wills of our children. I think there's times that we need to. But there are some things that God did. He did set boundaries for his people, his children. As fathers, we can do the same thing. He warns us. As fathers, we can do the same thing. When God chastens us, it's for our benefit. So if we chasten our children, it should be for their benefit, not ours. And God is willing to forgive us when we return. So if we have children that are not doing that we like or appreciate, we need to be willing to forgive them. Because we know what happens if you don't forgive them. We look at David's life. Absalom returned there, and his dad would not come and look at him. He would not come and visit. He would not come and tell him it's okay. He would not affirm his life. And I believe that if David would have done that, I believe there would have been a different outcome in Absalom's life. I'm confident of that this morning. So we go on. Fathers, love your wives. Your children watch how you treat your mother. They watch, and they are learning, and they are forming their concept of marriage from you. You are creating a pattern for them, a blueprint for marriage with your children. Think of that. That's a father to his wife. Wife, love your father or your husband the same way. But the thing that we run into around here a lot is, I know there's a lot of people that have home businesses. They work at home. The fathers are home all the time, but many of us aren't. We're out working. I had to think of that. Whoever a child spends a lot of time with is probably, they have more of a chance to be tied to that person. And mother's jobs, I believe, are to always uplift your husband, encourage your children that we're going to do what daddy wants to do. And this way there means rebond. There remains a bond between all of them. Just like there are no perfect fathers. Fathers, your children will not be perfect. I think if you can get that thing on your heart this morning, you will have less disappointments. And you will only focus on building up your children, because there's no child that's perfect and there's no father that's perfect. Don't expect your children to meet all your expectations. I will share a little bit of what Dale Heisey shared there. He one day moved to Missouri or Kansas, I think. He was a cattle farmer, and he had E. coli came into the community and started killing his calves. And I'm not sure how many calves died, but one morning, I know just how he felt, because I've had it in my life. Everything's gone bad. Everything's gone wrong, right? You ever have that? You go out, you tell your children, hey, he told his three boys that morning, he said, listen, I want you guys to dig a hole today, 4 feet wide, 4 feet long, 4 feet deep. When I get home tonight, we're going to bury those calves. Get it done. He left. That night he came home. There was no children in the driveway to meet him. They were not in the barn to meet him. They were, I think he stuck his head in the door of the house. He didn't know where these sons were. He went out back. When he got out back, he seen the hole they were digging. It was 4 feet long, 4 feet wide, but it was only 2 feet deep. They ran into some hard shell, hard rock. And he says there was evidence of them there taking hammers and breaking that stone, little stones up, trying to get through that stone to get down to 4 feet deep. And he says they even got a wedge out there. You know, you split wood with one of those wedges that were trying to drive in that shell, break up the shell. They could not get through this shell. He says instantly at that moment he realized what he'd done. And he sunk. So should we always expect them to meet all of our expectations? I believe that we need to be careful in what we tell them they need to do and keep building their confidence. And he went in the house that day, and sure enough, they did not come out to meet him because they thought they had failed. And he, at that moment, he went in and says, son, you did a good job. I'm sorry. You passed my expectation. You understand what I'm saying here as a father? It's easy to do that. So let's not expect them to always meet all of our expectations. And also, don't expect them to fulfill all of your goals for them. Don't overburden them with things that you don't want to do or you can't do. Work together with your son and do these things, or your mother with your daughters. A lot of fathers here in this setting came from where I came from. We came from settings where a lot of failures and maybe not so good of a life. So now when we have children, we know the truth. Have you ever thought of this? We want our children to do everything that we missed out on. And we push them to high limits. It doesn't bring that warm and loving feeling to a child if you're trying to make them do something that they don't want to do. And I think of that. When Jesse was 14, I thought, you know what, something that I always wanted to do when I was young, I would have loved to work on motors, being a mechanic. But I never did. So I told Jesse, he was 14, hey son, you wanna be a mechanic? I said, I'll help you, I'll send you to school, I'll be beside you, we'll do this thing, I'll do it with you together. But I want you to learn. He said, I want to do what you're doing, Dad. So I wasn't disappointed. And today I'm glad that I didn't send him out. It's been 8 years we spent together working together. So let's don't push your children to do something or live out the lives that you thought you should have had. Natural for especially for younger children, it's natural for them to make mistakes. They're going to spill milk. They're going to accidentally break things. They're going to do poorly here. They're going to get angry. They're going to disappoint you. But I think as a father, there's ways to deal with that by being calm in your own heart and knowing what your calling is. Another thing, I'm just about done. I'm sorry, past 12 here. Enjoy your children. The Bible says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb and his reward. Children are given to us for enjoyment, not to be a burden, not to be avoided, not to be ignored, but to enjoy. And you ever think of something? Something that I enjoy doing when I get done, especially this time of the year, it's kind of cold out. I like to go home, sit down in the recliner, put my feet up. And I enjoy that. I think it's okay. But what if I would just go home and I would go outside the window and I'd be looking at my recliner and I'd be looking at that thing and I would be, I'm not really enjoying that thing. I'm not with it. So if you want to enjoy your children, you got to be with them. You got to spend time with them. You can't enjoy them if you're not with them. Have fun with them. Share your life with them. Enjoy being a father. And not only enjoy being a father, but make sure that they enjoy having you as a father. I'm saying this. I know I opened my life up today. But I say this. Life is real. And we get burdened down with things in this life sometimes, and we try to make things work out, and yet we're spinning wheels on another project, not on the right project. Does that make sense? And you get caught up in these things at times, and it's just saying, we all can be encouraged today. Make sure that our children enjoy having us as a father. Give them some memories of you being fun. How about that one? You ever done that? I think back, Mark can too. Dad did it some, not a lot. He was busy raising, or he had an 80-acre farm raising 15 children. But I tell you, it's 40 years ago. I remember as pure as day, and I've shared it here before, that Dad got a fishing pole and a bucket, and we went fishing. I remember that. It was a memory made. So how can we make memories for our children? I think it's important. And I don't think that we need to be carnal about making memories with our children, but there are things to do. We love hiking. We love seeing nature. We spent a lot of time in a year doing that. And I enjoy that, but what if I would enjoy that and they would enjoy that? Do I need to sacrifice my time and go do that? I think it's good. I think I'm just talking about that. I know there's things my children love to do that I don't like to do. Sit around playing a game sometimes. I force myself to play a game. But I don't enjoy it. But I do it. Listen to your children. Give them your undivided attention. And that means not with one eye on something else and one eye on them. When they have a problem, when they're worried, when they're sad, when they're lonely, they don't need more things. This world has buried themselves into things. They need a best friend. They need you, Dad and Mom. Get involved with your children and know what's going on in their everyday life. It's very important. Listen to them. Even when they're not saying anything, they're talking. And I think as a father and mother, that's our job to be able to read, understand, discern what's going on. If their countenance is down, if they look sad, if something's going on, we need to be there. They speak without speaking. Be the kind of father that they can come to and share anything, or mother. Anything that's on their mind, they can share with you. If you listen to them when they're small, I think I've said that before, and when their problems are small, they will come to you when they're bigger and their problems are bigger. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase in hearing. And provide for your children. I think that's not a problem here. I think most of us will do that, but it's still a commandment from God. Train your children in the nutrient admonition of the Lord. At home, we need to, I think one of the important things is if you want to examine, you were sharing this morning, we want a body to function, a body to work. We need to teach our children to respect authority in our homes. They won't respect them at home, they won't respect them in the body, in the church body. We need to teach our children there are boundaries, rules and regulations. When you do that, they're young, don't be surprised if they're going to test you. They may test you. But you're old and wise, you have wisdom, you know how to deal with that, right? Pray for your children. The Bible says evening and morning and noon, night and day, talk to them. Hear their voice. I have realized now I have one child that's married and I can't be with her all the time now because she has a husband. But her husband and God can be with them. I can't protect her all the time because I'm not with her all the time, but God and her husband can. Pray for your children, lift them up to God. Be a positive father. I think in my own life sometimes, when I was young, I had a lot of negativity in my life, and I think it kind of can pass on through, and you can be negative in life, and you need to get rid of that negativity and be positive. You know, you have heard this. You have inherited. And I have inherited some of my own father's characteristics. And your children are inheriting some from you. So are they good? I think that's about all I have this morning. You are preparing your children to leave home. That's what I wanted to share with. If Jesus Christ don't come back before your children get married, you are preparing them to leave home. We know that talks about shooting your arrows out there. And Someday, when they're out of your house, they will take what you've taught them and what they learned from you, and they will apply it to their own life in the real world. And we heard a message from Del Gish years ago. He talked about the window of opportunity. We all know that. We only have a window of opportunity to do that. Preparing them for life away from home is only part of that picture. I know my brother Martin has grandchildren now already, and he's saying now his burden, his praying for his own family, his children, now his grandchildren. Give me a blessing. You haven't spent your time preparing your children for eternity. Is it considered a failure? That's the question I'm going to ask, because I don't want to. You can't choose their eternal path. But you can show them, you can direct them, you can guide them with everything that you have. You can set them off in a good way, because your influences will influence them. It's not easy being a father and a mother, but it's not impossible. God commanded it. I believe that He would not sent these children into these people if He didn't expect them to be a way to give them back to Him. It takes hard work, a lot of prayers, making right decisions, having wisdom, discernment. God doesn't expect you to always do things right. Again, I say this morning, if your heart is right, your motives are pure. If you're a father this morning, and only because you fathered some children and you're not being a father to them, then are you a father this morning? I believe this morning, as I was sitting here, God gave me that example of these three brothers who said they were house builders. They ended up with no fruit. They ended up with nothing. They were robbed. They were stolen. They had debt to pay. And so will it be to each father here today, I think, if we don't give it all that we got. I hope today that you were blessed and encouraged and exhorted to continue on, as the Bible says, in the day that we lived, especially the day that we lived, gathering together, encouraging one another. If anything I said today was contrary to the will of God or wasn't biblical, you can come talk to me. May the Lord bless you all.